This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. Know thy time. All right, today that is the subject of our podcast episode, and the ideas I'm going to be sharing with you to go along with our theme this month. As we mentioned in the first episode of the month about productivity themes, I said, you know what? We're going to do a productivity theme for this entire podcast and at meaningfulhq.com and on my personal development blog at deanbakari.com. We're going to be talking about nothing but productivity, baby. How can you be as effective and efficient as possible in your work and in your life? And today, we're going to be talking about time. More specifically, I'm going to be sharing with you three big ideas that I've gleaned from one of my favorite books on productivity called The Effective Executive, written by Peter Drucker. Now, if you haven't heard of Peter Drucker, he is passed away now, but he was one of the greatest like business philosophers of our time. He's worked with some of the world's greatest leaders, from politicians to business people, and he's helped them, you know, figure out what are those actions that I need to take to stop taking activity and various tasks and things of that so seriously, but what are the things that I really need to take seriously? What are the things that are going to move the needle for both myself and my organization, my company as a whole, or whatever institution that I'm leading? What are those key high leverage activities that I need to take? And he would help them figure those out. And he has created dramatic results for a lot of people, especially with his books, which this book, The Effective Executive, is probably my favorite book of all the books that he's written. He's written several. And also really high up on my list of books about productivity in general. It's one of the best ones that I've got in my library. And today I'm going to share just a piece, a critical piece that he's written about in his book, The Effective Executive, which pertains to time, right? Because obviously, as you know, time is a crucial component of productivity, right? You got to get things done, but not just get them done, get them done in a reasonable amount of time. Sometimes you've got very little time to get something done. Sometimes you've got way more time than necessary to get something done. And have you ever noticed how kind of work expands to the time allotted, right? And so that's a, you know, old school rule that has applied for ages now because it's true. And so in this episode, again, we're going to talk about knowing thy time. In the book, Drucker tells us that most discussions of the executive's task, and by the way, the word executive here, you can sort of replace it with whatever word you want to use for yourself because it applies to everybody. You could just as well say people as executives. And so, again, what he says is most discussions of the executive's task start with the advice to plan one's work. This sounds eminently plausible. The only thing wrong with it is that it rarely works. He goes on, the plans always remain on paper, always remain good intentions. They seldom turn into achievement. Effective executives, or people, in my observation, do not start with their tasks. He says they start with their time, and they do not start out with planning. They start by finding out where their time actually goes. Then they attempt to manage their time and to cut back unproductive demands on their time. Finally, they consolidate their discretionary time into the largest possible continuing units, unquote. So, in case you were wondering whether the quote that I just read to you could be broken down into sort of an actionable step-by-step process? It can, and I've done it for you. And this is, according to Peter Drucker, this right here, that statement that you just heard, and the three things that I'm going to tell you from that statement are sort of the core components, the foundation of effectiveness, so to speak. And so here's the three-step process to being as effective as possible with your time. Whether that means you're running a business, whether that means you're running a home, whether that means you're running a nonprofit organization, doesn't matter. Whether it means you're running your own career yourself, you're running yourself. These three things are crucial, critical elements of effectiveness. Number one is about recording time. Okay. Number two is about managing your time. And number three is about consolidating time, as in creating focus blocks. We'll dive into each one along with actionable insights as we move into this episode and dive deeper. So let's talk about number one. Let's start from the beginning, recording time. Now, the first step towards being effective is to record the actual amount of time that you're using on a day-to-day basis, right? Because if we don't know where we're at, right? If we feel like, oh my God, I'm losing control. I've got so much stuff to do. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where all the time is going. You know, you've heard people say there's not enough time in the day, right? I don't know where all the time goes. Well, you don't know where all the time goes is because you haven't figured out what you're doing with that time, right? And so we need to begin with logging our time and figuring out, hey, where the heck is where are all these hours and minutes and seconds of the day going? And how can I allocate them more productively? So with regard to recording your time, it doesn't really matter how you do it, by the way, right? What matters is that you actually do it, right? These days, there's even apps out there like Rescue Time that you can use if you're using a computer, right? If you do knowledge work, which many people do, the majority of Americans do, and you can just get this app on your computer and it'll tell you when you're veering off, how much time you're spending in different things, how much time you've logged on to Facebook, how much time you spent on Instagram, Twitter, how much time you've spent actually doing work or researching stuff, how much time you've actually spent creating versus consuming. And even checking email. And so there's tons of different apps out there. The only one that I have ever used and know of is called Rescue Time. I don't endorse it or anything like that. It's just the only one that I know that can sit in the background on your computer and kind of monitor how much time you're spending doing work versus just screwing around, right? And so the idea here is to log your time. This is an action step, an actionable insight that you can take. If you want to know your time, if you want to be as productive, as effective as possible with the time you've got in each day, because all of us share that, right? We've all got 24 hours a day, 365 a year, right? It's just a matter of what we do with it that sets us apart from one another. And it's a matter of what we do with it that allows one person to be a multimillionaire and another person to be scraping and searching between their cushions for nickels and dimes. Right? It's the difference between one person who seems to have it all, right? Who seems to be there fully present with their family, who seems to be there fully present with their friends, who seems to be incredibly successful at work and is all those things, because that person is using those 24 hours of the day, 365 effectively, versus that other person who's like, oh my God, I don't know what's going on. Oh man. Oh, you ever have a friend or talking to somebody, your coworker, and like, oh man, they always seem like they're just so busy, so super busy, but they're not really getting shit done. They're not really doing anything at all. They're just mistaking activity for effectiveness. That's not a trap we want to fall into. And if you feel like you're even teetering along that line, then the key step to begin with is to log your time. The best way to figure out where your time is actually going is to log your day-to-day activities in real time over a period of 4 to 6 weeks. This is what Drucker recommended in the book. I did it, and it really allowed me to understand that, hey, I'm spending a lot of time doing this low-leverage activity or this set of low-leverage activities, where what I should really be allocating my time to is extended periods of uninterrupted, focus-blocked time focusing on these high-leverage activities, right? And so it really gives you sort of a high level scope of understanding of where you're actually putting in your energy, where your time is actually going. And the best way to do that is to not do it for a day or two or a week or two even, but at least a month. Give yourself a month, right? Because our activities vary sometimes from day to day, right? One day you might be doing this, another day you might be doing that. And so to really gain a full understanding of where your time is going and whether you're using it productively, effectively, is to log it over a period of 4 to 6 weeks. And again, doing this, it's going to give you a good idea of whether you're focusing on things that are getting you results or if you're focusing your time on the things that ain't getting you nothing, right? If you're focusing your time on stuff that doesn't really matter. No more dilly-dally. Log your time so that you'll know, have a baseline to begin with. All right, so the next step to this three-step process to being as effective as possible with your time is about managing your time. Now, I personally am not a big fan of using the word managing your time because you can really just, you can manage yourself. You can't really manage time, right? Time's gonna pass either way. And additionally, I also believe that energy is the key to that comes first. Before you even talk about time, you gotta talk about your energy levels. You gotta address that. But that's a different episode, different time, different article. And we'll touch on that before the month is up. But again, the second step in this process to being effective as possible, as productive as possible, according to Peter Drucker, is about managing your time. And he writes in the book, delegation, as the term is customarily used, is a misunderstanding, is indeed a misdirection, he tells us. But getting rid of anything that can be done by somebody else, so that one does not have to delegate but can really get to one's own work, that is a major improvement in effectiveness. So in other words, what he's saying is instead of spending your time thinking about delegating things and stuff like that, find people that are capable so that you don't have to worry about delegating and managing them. You can just let them do their thing because they're already really good at what they're doing. You just find those people, get them on your team, and let them do their thing. And then you focus on you, right? You do you. That way you don't have to worry about anybody else. You can focus on doing what you do best. And if you're a manager or you're a leader of your organization, or if you're a business person, you're an entrepreneur and you're running a company, then you want to find the best people that you possibly can within your budget and let them do their thing rather than managing them, micromanaging them, and worrying about delegation. Find the right people, get effective people, get them on your side, let them do their thing, right? Once you've gotten a good idea of where the majority of your time actually goes, that's when it's time to identify the time wasters. So in other words, finding other people to help you, getting good people on your team, that's a big one. But you also, in addition to that, the other actionable insights from this idea about managing time, the second step and being an effective individual, is to identify your time wasters, right? By taking a look at all of the activities that you regularly perform and then asking the following question. Here's what you want to ask yourself. You want to figure out, where are my time slots throughout the day? Where's my schedule being sucked away? Where am I wasting time? Where are my minutes going? Where are my precious hours going? Here's the question you want to ask. What would happen if this were not done at all, right? When it comes to the activities that you're doing, that you regularly perform, you think about your day, right? Imagine your typical work day and the things that you do, the activities that you perform. And then you want to ask, with each activity, what would happen if I didn't even do this? What would happen if I actually did not do this activity at all? And once you've identified your time wasters, then you want to ask the next question, which is, which of the activities on my time log could be done by somebody else just as well, if not better? Right. See, now we're looping back around to this whole delegation thing and finding the right people, not necessarily worrying about delegation again, but getting somebody who's good enough that you don't have to worry about delegation so that you can get to your own work, right? That's a major improvement on effectiveness. So identify your time wasters, the things, those low leverage activities that you don't need to be doing or that somebody else could do better, which then frees up time for you to focus on your most important things, and finding good people that can actually handle those other low leverage tasks that you don't want to do, aren't as good at doing, and have no business really doing because it's a waste of your strength, your energy, your time. So the way to get to that, the way to figure that out, is to ask yourself, which of the activities on my time log could be done by somebody else just as well? So you've got your time log, you've measured how much time you're spending in different places, right? That's step one. Step two is learning how to manage this time that you have now. You've logged your time, and you should start doing this, by the way, as soon as you start logging your time. Start asking these questions. Don't wait until the fourth week to start doing this. Again, revisit it, but start taking action immediately. Develop the habit of immediate execution. Action, action, action. As soon as you learn something, action, right? And so this part, the second piece here, is about identifying, managing your time and identifying your time wasters. Right? Again, take a look at all the activities that you regularly perform throughout the day and ask yourself the question, what would happen if this were not done at all? And then once you've identified your time wasters, by asking that question, you want to then follow up with, which of the activities on my time log could be done by somebody else just as well, if not better? And then once you figure that out, hire those people, find those people, get them on your side, get them on your team. Train them well, take the time, invest yourself into them, right? Invest your time, your resources, make them good. Develop their skills, their strengths. For instance, I can't stand editing stuff. I can't stand editing this podcast episode. I can't stand editing anything but writing, right? I enjoy that. But when it comes to this technical audio editing process, I despise it. I hate it. I can't stand it. So I find someone who not only enjoys doing it, but is also a heck of a lot better at editing than I am. And so I get them on my side, on my team, right? I give them resources. I let them do their thing, right? Train them a little bit about my style, what I'm looking for. And then boom, you do you. Do your thing. Do what you're best at, baby. Let me do what I'm best at. And let's work together here. Let's make this happen. Right? It's a win-win for everybody. And so that's what you want to find. You want to free up more time for those activities in your life, in your work, that allow you to tap in to your strengths and your skills, those things that you deem important, the things that you believe matter to you and find most meaningful to you. And all those other activities that are draining you, sucking the life out of you, find somebody else to help you with that. Finally, the third step that Drucker mentions in the book, Effective Executive, is about consolidating time. Again, this is within this chapter on knowing thy time, right? So we talked about already, we discussed recording your time, right? Logging your time to see where it's all going. Secondly, we discussed managing your time, figuring out where you're wasting your time and how you can free up more time for yourself and use it more productively, and also leverage other people to help you with those things that you do not want to do or cannot do. And then finally now, we're talking about consolidating your time. In the book, he tells us, Drucker says, whenever I see a senior executive asserting that more than half of his time is under his control and really discretionary time, which he invests and spends according to his own judgment, I am reasonably certain that he has no idea where his time goes. This is true in any organization, unquote. Now, so the final and probably the most important step here is to consolidate the time that you have available under your control. Again, consolidating the time that you have available under your control. Right, so time, it's your scarcest resource, right? We all know that. And unless you manage it more appropriately, nothing else can be managed appropriately in your life, in your business, your profession, your relationships, nothing, right? So once you get your time under control, really getting yourself under control within the time that you have allotted to you on a day-to-day basis, which is 24 hours for all of us, once you can do that, once you can manage yourself within that time that you have, nothing else can be managed appropriately. Nothing else in your life is going to be as optimized as it can, as fulfilling as it can, unless you learn to use yourself, your body, your brain, your mind effectively within the 24 hours that we're given every single day. And Drucker says that the reason why working late at night, right, at home, which we've all done before, is so popular is actually its worst feature, right? You ever come home, you got extra work to do, you got emails to respond to, you bring your work home. Drucker tells us that this reason, the reason why working late at night at home is so popular, again, is actually its worst feature. It enables us to avoid tackling our time and our management of that time during the day, right? So in other words, if you're screwing around all day long and you know that you have a deadline coming up at the end of the week or tomorrow morning, right? You know that you have the option of burning the midnight oil, coming home, and instead of spending quality frickin' time with your family, you crack open your laptop, open up your notebook, do whatever presentation you got to do, and just crank away. Why the heck didn't you do it at work, dude? Why didn't you do it when you were supposed to be doing it? Right? And I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you right now, because we've all been there before. But the key is to remove that option completely. It's not even an option, right? You know that you have 8 hours per day, whatever, or 4 hours per day, 5 hours per day, whatever it is. And so you know that you have that time. So remove the option of using that crucial, beautiful time that you have at home where you can spend time with your wife, your husband, your children, your family. Don't let your work supersede that. That's just as important, if not actually infinitely more important than anything else. And so the actionable insight here from this one about really consolidating your time is to do your work earlier in the morning, right? The key, number one, by the way, is block timing. So you want to have dedicated focus blocks, long uninterrupted periods of time for you to focus. And if that's not enough for you, then you want to do your work earlier, right? Instead of coming home and catching up on unfinished work, Drucker recommends that you figure out a more effective way to get those things handled. One of which is to get work done early in the morning before people start calling you, bothering you, before other people wake up, or to do it in a closed office or bedroom, home office, where nobody else can access you or bother you, thus allowing you to focus intentionally on the work that needs to get done. Now, according to Drucker, one of the most effective time managers that he has ever come across, and he writes about this guy inside of his book, was the president of a big bank who he actually spent 2 years consulting for. So he would go meet with this president of this big bank once a month, every month, and that bank president was always prepared, he would write, for every single meeting. And there was never, ever more than one item on their agenda. And an hour and 20 minutes into their meeting, Drucker says that the president would actually turn to him. Just as soon as that hour and 20 minutes was up, boom, he would look at him and say, "Mr. Drucker, I believe you better sum up now and outline what we should do next." Boom. In other words, let's wrap this up, baby. I got other stuff to do. And exactly 10 minutes later, he was out of there. Every meeting for 2 straight years went on like that. And all of them were exactly an hour and a half from the moment he'd walk through the door, right? And so finally, Drucker ended up one day towards the end of his sort of contract, this 2 years, he one day asked him, he said, "You know, why always an hour and a half? Why is it that I'm always in here for 90 minutes exactly, and then I'm out of here? Why is that?" And the bank president goes, "Well, that's easy. I don't even know if he had a Southern accent. I'm just switching it up on you. Well, that's easy. I have found out that my attention span is about an hour and a half. If I work on any one topic longer than this, I begin to repeat myself. At the same time, I've learned that nothing of importance can really be tackled in much less time." So that's what the bank president said. He goes, "Look, my attention span's about an hour and a half, man. 90 minutes. If I work on anything longer than that, I start losing myself. I repeat myself. My thinking goes crazy. I start losing my focus, and nothing really that's incredibly important can really be tackled in much less time and much more time than that. And you start to sort of veer into depleting returns where you're not as sharp as you were when you started. And furthermore, during this hour and a half that Drucker was in his office every month, he also says that there was never a phone call, right? Imagine being the president of a bank. You're meeting with somebody. You would imagine that they'd always be picking up the phone, right? But no. Drucker writes about this guy and he goes, look, there was never a single phone call interruption. And his secretary never even stuck her head in the door to announce that there was some urgent or important thing or person that needed to see him either. So one day Drucker asks him about this too. Bank president turns to him and he says, well, Mr. Drucker, my secretary has strict instructions not to put anyone through except the President of the United States and my wife. The President rarely calls, and my wife knows better. Everything else, the Secretary holds till I have finished. Then, I have an hour in which I return every call and make sure I get every message. I have yet to come across a crisis which could not wait 90 minutes. Boom. Boom. I love that. When I first read that years ago, I was like, you know what? From now on, I'm always going to give the person in front of me my full presence and full attention because they deserve that. No phone call is usually, of course, there's exceptions to every circumstance, but not many phone calls are more important than the presence of an actual person, a real life individual sitting right there across from you. So, if at all possible, unless your job says that you need to be on the phone and ready to pick it up at any moment, then designate time periods to use your phone. Designate time periods to check your phone. Most people check their phones multiple times per hour. And that's a huge impediment to productivity and effectiveness. It's insane. It's insanity how often people check their phones. By the way, that few times per hour, that's lenient, right? I'm sure that if they did some more studies, if they haven't already done so, and I came across them, that it would be way more. It would be in the 20s, 30s, 40 times an hour people check their phones. It's insane. People are addicted because it's like a drug, you know? Every time you check your phone, you see a little red notification thing and you check it, you're getting a little hit of dopamine that makes you happy. It's a biochemical response. And that's what gets people addicted, all of us. And so the key to doing that is to treat it just like anything else, right? Designate specific periods of time in which you'll check your phone. Like I prefer to just check my phone 3 times a day. I'll check it in the morning time, not first thing. I'll check it in the afternoon, and then I'll check it in the evening when I'm wrapping up my work. Now, of course, there's times when I mess it up. And of course, there are times where there's a reason why I need to be by my phone. And if I'm awaiting an important phone call, or if there's a meeting that's set, which I also like to batch all those together, by the way, I'll have designated days in which I'll try to stack up all my meetings. So that way, they're not spread out and sprinkled throughout the week. And so that day for me is Friday. And so these are all little ways in which you can sort of get to know your time and know yourself within the time that you're allotted. Again, number one, the first step towards being an effective person, both in life and in business, at work as well, is recording your time. You got to know where it's going, right? And the best way to do that is to log it for an extended period of time. Log it for a month. Figure out where it's actually going. Number two is managing your time. That is figuring out your time wasters, which you can get from actually logging your time for a few weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. And then once you've done that, you'll know, okay, now I can start managing my time or managing myself within the time that I'm allotted. Figure out what are your time wasters? And a key to asking that question is, what activities do I not need to be doing? Again, what would happen if these activities were not done at all? Right, by taking a look at all of the activities that you regularly perform throughout the day and asking yourself the following question: what would happen if this were not done at all? And once you've identified your time wasters, ask the next question, which is, which of the activities on my time log could be done by somebody else, just as well, if not better? And then find those people, get them on your team, and then focus on your strengths, on those things that you're skilled at doing, those things that you find most meaningful and important. And finally, the third step that Drucker talks about in The Effective Executive is about consolidating your time. And that is, we talked about developing focus blocks, right? Times where you can focus uninterrupted on your most important things throughout the day. And ideally, you would have three-hour focus blocks, right? One focus block, the first one, might be focusing on your biggest project of the day, right? Eat that frog. Start with the hardest thing first. Designate that time, work on that. The second focus block might be trying to move the ball forward on a medium-sized thing that you've got going on, a project. And then the third focus block might be those lower leverage activities or batch tasks, as I like to call them, where you're responding to emails, returning phone calls, handling certain small things, signing off on paperwork, calling people, doing all that kind of stuff that doesn't really require your highest level of brain power usually. And so the other thing we mentioned again was doing your work earlier in the morning instead of bringing it home. So to be an effective individual, record your time, log it, figure out where it's going, start managing it more effectively, and then finally consolidate it. Block time and do it earlier instead of bringing it home. These were some of my favorite big ideas from The Effective Executive, written by Peter Drucker. If you want the summary version of this book, you can pick it up over at getflashbooks.com. And if you want the full version, of course, I'll link that up for you as well. It's an excellent book. You should definitely get the full version also. But if you want a quicker summation of the big ideas and the actionable insights, come on over to getflashbooks.com and pick that up. Until next time, go out there every single day, be productive, and keep on living like you give a damn.